It is an honor to proclaim the word of the Lord. It's an honor, especially for me. I've never actually read scripture with you, Polly. This is awesome. It's terrific. Hear now from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, first through the sixth verses. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one spirit, just as God called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all.
And from John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 6 through 11. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The special reason why we use the Nicene Creed today is because there's a line in that creed that says, we believe in the one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. You see, traditionally, throughout Christian history, there had been four marks of the authentic church. And the four marks are simply, the church is one. O-N-E. The church is holy. The church is Catholic with a small c, which basically means universal. And the church is apostolic. We're in a new series now. The church is one foundation. The next line, of course, is, church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But what comes after that is the statement about what we believe in the church. It is one. O-N-E. From the very beginning, the church has been one, not many. And so we're going to start off with the first mark of the church today. And it is so very, very important that when Jesus came towards the end of his life, before he went to the cross, he had a prayer that we have named Jesus' priestly prayer, found in the 17th chapter of the book, the Gospel of John, called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. And in that prayer, Jesus prays that they may be one, even as I and you are one. In other words, Jesus' prayer is that the church may be one. The disciples that he had made, who will make further disciples, who would make further disciples, that all disciples from then on that represent him would be one, O-N-E, just as he and the Father are one. What kind of unity is that? It's solid. It's perfect unity. It is the kind of unity that is a gift, because Jesus didn't say that we would have to work for it. We were one from the very beginning because the church is built on one foundation, Jesus Christ. But Jesus also knew that we needed to live into that reality. So our oneness as a church, on the one hand, is a gift. We already are one, O-N-E. But we also know we are called to live into that unity and to maintain that unity. Why? Jesus tells us why. So that the world would believe that the Father sent him. Because a church that is divided, a church that is split, a church that's all over the place and doesn't get along at all, in no way witnesses to the gospel, which is about reconciliation, salvation, redemption, holiness. And so we have the gift of oneness, but we also have the calling to live into that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, maintain the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. Paul urged the churches to maintain that unity. You know, the thing about unity is this. We have to understand that there can be diversity in unity. And so right there we can breathe in, we can breathe out. We can have diversity in unity. And matter of fact, we already have it. Why? Because there are diverse gifts that the Holy Spirit distributes to the people of God. There are diverse gifts that have been distributed. There's diversity in the gifts that are given. And then there's diversity in the people who have received those gifts. And you know, Paul goes on and he talks about how we are one, though to the world we are all different, belonging to different parts of society. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is therefore now neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all now one in Christ. Now to us that may be, okay, I understand that, but do you understand what it meant to a world that divided itself according to Jews and Gentiles? According to free and slaves, and according to male and female, even within the religious circles, there were these divisions. And so when the disciples of Jesus Christ went out and preached the good news of Jesus Christ, people responded, and they came from these various segments of society and all gathered together in one place to praise God with one voice, to witness to God with one voice, and you had a new creation. You had a sign to the world that something new had been created. Indeed, could only have been created through the gift of the Holy Spirit. This oneness is special because it has to do with richness. And, you know, one thing I'm always confronted with is, why are there so many denominations? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that confusing to people? Well, in some ways it can be, but let me explain this thing. You see, there is one church because there is one body. We are all parts of that one body. We are all one body because we all have one faith. But there are many expressions of that faith. And so even denominations are, in a way, an example of the richness that has developed over the years that God's been able to use. Now, sometimes there's been schisms and there's been friction and there's been things that should not have been done that have brought dishonor upon the church and dishonor upon the gospel. But by and large, just because there are different denominations, does not nullify the validity of the church nor the gospel. There are expressions of faith that make it possible for the church to reach all people everywhere. You know, we gather at the table and we say, because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are all one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. And in a sense, we think about this. How many different tables are there? There's only one table, the table of the Lord. And He invites us all to that table. So you see, even in our diversity, we can recognize there is a oneness. There's a oneness with those worshiping and gathering today in little huts in third world countries. There's a oneness with those in persecuted countries who gather at places that are not even announced because of threat of violence. There is a oneness with those who gather in the greatest cathedrals of the world. There is a oneness with those who gather in small little churches out in eastern North Carolina. There is a oneness in the church that consists of that diversity and richness. And we are to work towards maintaining the unity of the Spirit. There is oneness because there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in all. So what's the implications of this? That the first mark of the church is its unity, is its oneness, that the church is one. What is the implication of this for us gathered today? Well, the first implication is this, as I say about the denominations. You know, we're not in competition with one another's denominations. Matter of fact, we complement one another. Some of us are able to do some things that others are unable to do, but we complement one another with our weaknesses and our strengths. And together, we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. So we're not competing in the body of Christ. We're helping to complete one another and to be complementary. Multiple ways of reaching people for Christ. One of the main things, though, that helps us with this implication that the church is one is nowhere does it ever mention a building, not one time. And that's because the church is not a building. The church is a people. The only reason that the church has ever had a building is because it's a means to an end. A means to an end of making disciples. Making disciples through worship, fellowship, service, and witness, which is our mission statement here. For us, as we go through this building program, as we begin to construct new kinds of buildings and new arrangements and everything, it is for the purpose of becoming a more welcoming community to those who are around us, to provide openness to the community, an invitation to come, to provide multiple ways in which people can gather in our buildings, to provide daily opportunities for people to gather here and to work together, all for the purpose of ultimately being able to launch ministry from the heart of Cary to the world. It's all really about our sending capacity, and ultimately that's what our buildings will help us with. You know, buildings change. There may be another building program. Lord knows when that will be. It'll hopefully be many years from now. But there'll be a reason why the buildings need to change. There's always a reason why buildings need to change in order to help serve the mission of the organization. But the foundation, Jesus Christ, never changes. The foundation, Jesus Christ, never changes. And that's why we can sing that hymn, "We Are the Church." The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people where many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. Friends, this is a time to get excited about being the church in the world today, because there are so many different valid ways of being the church in the world today. And we're just going about one of them. One of the ways in which we can be in ministry to the world. I see things happening that I've never seen happen around the world. People with the emergent church. People developing new ways of gathering and fellowshipping and serving. New ways of being the church. There are home churches. There are missional churches that move into neighborhoods and live there and help to serve the people and then move on. There are multiple ways of being the church in the world today, but the church is still one. And that is something worth being excited about, because God is working for good through His church in the world today to mend hurts, to heal brokenness, mend brokenness and heal hurts, and to provide hope and salvation And God takes people like you and me to do it. And so the mark of the church is that we are one. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. The invitation to prayer today is just to come and allow Polly and I to pray with you according to whatever you need you have. But I would hope that you would pray according to your response to be the church. To use the gifts God gives you. To become involved in the ministries here. To show up this afternoon at 2 o'clock. To be more excited about what God's doing and what God will do. The invitation is, come be a part of that. Come say, here I am, Lord. Let us stand.